Welcome to Mind Body Soul Radio, broadcasting from New York City with Mind Body Soul Yoga Studio founder and mystic mama, Alyssa Snow. Awakening, healing, yoga. We're getting real and we're getting gritty because, as they say, no mud, no lotus. And now your host, Alyssa Snow.
Hey everybody, this is Alyssa Snow, joining you from my very professional recording studio in the Bronx, also known as my kitchen. So before we begin, I'd like to tune in just to, set the space and create some space in my mind and maybe some space in your mind. And so wherever you are, just close your eyes and take a nice deep breath in. A complete breath out. I honor the Father, the intellect, the healthy problem-solving and psychological mind. I honor my Father, all fathers before him and all fathers now. I honor those qualities within him and me and all. I honor the Mother, the nurturing, unconditional love of a full heart. I honor my Mother, all mothers before her and all mothers now. I honor those qualities within her and me, and all. I honor the teacher and the carriers of knowledge that become wisdom, teachers that come in all forms and all situations. I honor it. I honor the teacher and the wisdom within me and all around me. Life is a teacher, and I am its student. I honor God and the loving energy of intentional creation. I honor creation in its natural time. I honor the creation of myself and life all around me. I honor creation as an expression of love. I invite my teachers, my masters, my guides, and all beings of the light to join me in my day, in my practice, in this podcast. Please infuse my mind and my heart with the light of my soul so I may know to surrender instead of control. So last time we were talking about a subject matter that I think is pretty interesting, how life is not designed to make us happy. And in fact, it's designed to make us uncomfortable. And how do we use that discomfort to wake up and to awaken beyond our thoughts? And I've been thinking a lot about life as a teacher, because I consider the experiences of life to be my greatest teachers, lots of experiences. And then I started thinking about the teachers that I've had in my life, like the physical human teachers that I've had in my life. And I was listening to a podcast this morning, and it was a yoga podcast, and one of the topics that they were talking about was the teacher-student relationship within the context of yoga. Because traditionally, yoga is taught one-to-one, right? Teacher-student. And traditionally, there wasn't necessarily one teacher and, 20, 30 students. It was a one-to-one relationship. And it was more than just a teacher teaching you asana. It was more than just physical experience. This was a teacher that was present for you for your spiritual awakening. Because yoga is not just the physical postures, right? We know this. Yoga is much more than just physical asana. And so this podcast was talking about how do we balance giving our power away to a teacher, a guru, and sort of making this assumption that they may know more about us than we do, versus, standing in our power and using our innate intuition and feeling confident that we may know what's best for us. It's an interesting question. It's an interesting tension. And I got to thinking about my experience with teachers, which honestly hasn't been so great in this lifetime. And they're not stories that I've told. Actually, I've kept them sort of private. My disappointment, if you will, in teachers. And so I wanted to talk about that today. Really, the idea of how to choose a teacher, or if a teaching relationship fails or ends, teacher-student relationship fails or ends, is it a failure? Does that mean that that teacher was a bad teacher? Does that mean that that student was a bad student? When I was just beginning this journey, this yoga journey and the journey of finding a teacher, one of my first teachers was a really strong woman. I'll say that. Really strong, really mystical, magical, extraordinary in the practice of yoga, physical yoga. She was an extraordinary teacher. I'm sure she still is. And she captivated me. And I thought, oh my God, she knows everything. I really did. I thought that. I thought that she knew everything about me. She could see right through me. She could see what I did last night. She could see that last night I went out and I drank with my friends and I smoked a joint and I went to yoga class the next day, and she could totally see that. And I would feel nervous around her, but at the same time curious about what she knew that I didn't. And so I studied with her. I took her classes, and I kept taking her classes, and I took her teacher trainings, and I became to know her as a woman, not just as a teacher, but as a woman. And the more I knew her, the more I saw that she didn't necessarily know everything. And while she had certain abilities, shall we say, psychic abilities to see and sense and all of that fascinated me. She was just a regular human yogi. But I think that over the course of our teaching and student relationship, because she told me that she was able to perceive certain things, see spirit, have certain experiences in meditation that I felt were so out of the realm of my reality and into, unsolved mysteries territory, I put her on a pedestal. I thought that she was more powerful than me, more all-knowing than me. And I think a little, maybe she accepted that pedestal, because our relationship started to become very solidified in teacher and student, even as I grew, even as I became a teacher, and then as I became a studio owner. That relationship stayed the same. It didn't necessarily evolve. Now, it changed in some form, because this was a teacher that actually helped me leave my six-figure job. She hired me to run her yoga studio. And that was an enormous gift. That was an enormous bridge, right? How do we leave a six-figure job in New York City and start upon the entrepreneur path, if not with help? And she helped me. And so she, mentored me in running a yoga studio and all that entailed. Now, I had some experience running businesses, larger businesses. I was from the financial side anyway. And I found that just in the very beginning, there was some struggle in terms of, I had ideas and she said, no, we're not going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. And so I was I felt a little contained in that relationship, meaning I wasn't able to sort of, hey, look, I know how to do some things, you know, with business. Let me try some things. And she didn't want to go that direction. And ultimately, for reasons having nothing to do with any of that, that relationship, that job, if you will, studio manager job, didn't work out. And I ended up going on my own and opening up Mind Body Soul Yoga Studio. And she ended up closing her yoga studio and basically seeking out to do teacher training at Mind Body Soul. And she invited me to be her mentor and work under her as a teacher trainer. And so this was thrilling, really. This was amazing. This was an amazing opportunity for me to learn how to train teachers, to work with a curriculum that she designed that was just beautiful, and offer teacher training with my teacher, who I loved dearly and respected greatly, at my yoga studio. And so we offered the training in the first round. You know, we had I had a really great turnout, and the training itself ultimately didn't work at the yoga studio at Mind Body Soul. And it didn't work for a few reasons. The main reason it didn't work, and this was me learning that, okay, I'm running a business here and I have to focus on what my students and the teachers who are on staff need and what's good for the community. And ultimately, what I learned wasn't good for the community was a teacher who didn't teach there full time and didn't even live in New York. She was living somewhere else at this time. She would fly in on, you know, one weekend a month to lead teacher training and then fly out. And so when the students were learning from her and then practicing at the yoga studio, there was a disconnect between certain things that she was teaching and what they were learning in the yoga class. These are little things. Like, I thought they were little things. Like, you know, little sequencing things, or whether you have your palms together in Warrior One or not. And I mean, just little things. But they became big things. And they're big things when you're in training and you're like, well, are my palms together in Warrior One or not? And so I would say it doesn't matter what makes you feel better, what it makes you feel better for your shoulders. And she would say, it absolutely matters, palms together. So we started to drift a little bit. My style, my sort of more, gentle, I don't know if that's the right word, liberal, we'll call it liberal, style of yoga was different than her very sort of methodical, specific approach. And it was also different than all of what the teachers were teaching. And so it just became very clear over the course of that training that the students would benefit greatly from having their teacher trainees, or teacher trainers, pardon me, teaching at the yoga studio full time. More cohesive, homegrown experience. And so that became clear to me over the course of this training, especially towards the end, and especially the next year when no one signed up for the second round of training. And, you know, it took me a while to come to this. It took me a while because I loved her so much, and I really wanted to make it work, and I wanted in some ways to repay her for all of the good that she did for me. But it wasn't working. It wasn't working. It was stressful. It wasn't flowing. And so some of the teachers at the yoga studio met with me and they said also, hey, this isn't working. Your students aren't happy. They're complaining to me. Da 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 da. It became dramatic. I don't like drama. And so I called it off. You know, I wrote it in an email because I'm such a wuss. I was such a wuss. I probably should have had this face to face. There's no, you know, Sometimes you look back on things and you're like, I did this, or I handled it this way. And you think, oh man, wish I would have handled this one better. But I emailed it because, you know, I was nervous and scared and it was a big conversation. But I told her, look, I know we can't offer this training anymore. It's just not working for the community. I think what might work better is if I create my own training over the next couple of years and offer that with some teachers that are at the yoga studio already. And I explained why that made sense. And I said, I'm so sorry and thank you so much. You're so important to me, la, 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 la. Anyway, so she totally broke up with me. And it wasn't like a, you know, angry, sort of explosive thing. She responded that I was not permitted to use any of her content. It was called theft. And then she never, like, she, like, unfriended me on Facebook. She blocked me. She just ghosted me, man. She left. And that hurt. That hurt, and it was confusing. And on a lot of levels, there was relief because there was a lot of drama around her and the studio and all of it. But on other levels, I was dumped. I was dumped by my teacher, my mentor, and my friend because I chose to make a business decision that didn't benefit her. And I'm sure she saw it as a betrayal. I'm not real clear on how she sees it because she never shared that with me. She just left. And I was a little heartbroken. And when I talk about it, and I don't think I've ever spoken about this, not really, because, well, it's personal. You know, she's a wonderful teacher and she's out there in the world doing wonderful things, and lots of people have gained great insights from her. But ultimately, what she ended up being for me in terms of the teacher was to teach me to be a teacher by forcing me to step into the role without anyone guiding me, telling me what to do. I was out there all by myself, figuring out how to write a teacher training, conducting a teacher training, running a yoga studio. And in a lot of ways, I floundered. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was aching for someone to help me. But she was gone. And I look back on that, and it's been 5 years or so, and I look back on that and I think, had I stayed in my relationship with her, had that continued, I don't know that I'd be the teacher I am today. I don't know that I'd be as confident. Because I made a lot of mistakes. And by the way, when you make a lot of mistakes and you quote unquote fail a lot, you gain a lot of confidence because you realize you can get through things. And you've gained a lot of wisdom because you know not what not to do. And so this floundering a bit was a huge teacher. And it forced me to step up as a teacher. Not as a businesswoman, not as someone who was running a business, but as a teacher. And so for that, I'm just eternally thankful. And so sometimes the teacher-student relationship has to end in order for the student to grow. And that's what happened to me in that relationship. And frankly, I'm seeing a pattern. Because there are patterns, right? It even happened with a healer who was a friend of mine, who was a healer. I won't say what kind of healer, but she also professed to have all sorts of magical powers and psychic powers. I'm a sucker for that stuff, man. Jeesh. I'm a sucker for that. Tell me you see ghosts and I'm like, ooh, you're so cool. Let me hang out with you. I'm really very, very seduced by people who claim to have these sort of extrasensory powers. I don't know why. I want them. I don't have them. I have them a little bit, I guess, but they're not what I thought they would be. They're not so literal. Anyway, this particular healer also broke up with me. She got mad at me over a business decision that I made that was for the benefit of the business. And, you know, sometimes I have to make hard decisions, and that's just that. And she ended up taking that was more explosive. She ended up taking all of the things that she learned about me in our healing sessions and shooting at me bullets of them. It was really painful. But had she stayed in my life, I never would have grown myself as a healer or seen myself as a healer, as someone who can help facilitate healing in others. And I learned that I don't want to be the type of healer or teacher that keeps people in the student role or keeps people in the role of needing a healer, but rather I want to be the teacher that teaches you how to listen to your own wisdom. It shows you how you know what's best for you. I want to be the healer that gives you tools and techniques that show you how to heal yourself. We don't need healers to heal us. But teachers are different, right? Teachers are human in this particular context we're talking about, and they have their own stuff. They have their own life that they're living and lessons that they're learning. And ideally, they're present enough and they're doing their work enough to not project them onto you, the student. But that's not always the case. Teachers are human. I recently, in the last year or two, became reacquainted with a teacher, shamanic healer teacher, that I had met like 17 years ago. And I was in meditation one morning and I was just flooded with memories of her, just sort of out of nowhere. I was flooded with memories of her. And I decided, I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. She just sort of came into my consciousness out of nowhere. So I went on her website and I saw that she was offering a training. And I thought, oh, I've been asking for a teacher. Like, I've been really needing and wanting a spiritual teacher. And so I reached out to her. I signed up for her training. And I've been connected with her ever since. And the interesting thing with this teacher, her name is Carrie. The interesting thing that I've noticed about Carrie is that she doesn't claim to be any more evolved or magical, although she is, I think, than I. She just says, I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this a long time and I've learned a lot and I've gained a lot of wisdom and I want to share it. It's very humble. It's very real. And she's, you know, she wants to retire in a couple of years, so she wants to make sure that there are people continuing in her work. This is beautiful. I'm really grateful. I've learned a lot over the past couple of years. She's supported me in my practice and in my growth. But she's also reminded me that I'm powerful and that I'm wise. And I could use this power and wisdom to be of service, and should. And so when I train teachers, you know, I do a 200-hour yoga teacher training at the studio, and one of the things that we talk about is the role of a teacher and the space you hold. Never, ever make the assumption that you are more evolved, more awake, more enlightened than anyone. Students come to your class, you meet them as a human. You meet them as a yoga teacher who's been, maybe you've been practicing yoga a little longer than them. Maybe not. Maybe not. We don't make any assumptions. We just offer yoga from our hearts. And we're authentic and real. And we watch our words, because words have power. And we simply offer yoga. And it would be like that if you were a spiritual teacher too, right? We don't make the assumption that anyone is more or less evolved or awake than us. That would be judgment. And that just diminishes our light when we judge. But rather, I think a spiritual teacher is someone who just teaches from their wisdom and says, okay, these things happened to me. I went through these things and I learned these things, and maybe they're relevant to you in your situation now. Maybe you can learn and gain some wisdom from my eras or my experience. Or maybe my experiences allow me to see nuggets of wisdom that can be mined from your pain. See, we're all in this together, this life. We're all here as co-creators. And when we get into this mind game of, you know, teacher, healer, student, person that needs to be healed, the power distribution becomes imbalanced. And I don't know that true teachings and true healings can come when the distribution of power is out of balance. I think it can be a recipe for problems, for pain. Now, in my case, those experiences that I had, I learned a great deal. The situation with the healer was far more painful simply because of the things that she said to me. I had to go find a therapist to work through all of that. That was hard. But it also brought into my mind what we're talking about now, the power of integrity, the power of doing your own work. If you're a teacher or a healer, you have got to be true to your practice, true to your words. You gotta walk your talk. You just have to. Or it's not going to work. I can't be sustained. And so for those of you listening to my stories today, think about this the next time you choose a teacher for yourself or a healer. Can you see their humanity? Can you see their imperfections, can they? Do you sense authenticity and integrity? Do they make you feel good? Do they uplift you? Do you learn more about yourself through them? These are good indicators that a teacher is right for you or a healer is right for you. But at the same time, there's no mistakes, right? There's no wrong, because I can look back in time and I can say to 26-year-old Alyssa, oh, you know, this will all happen with this teacher if you go, you know, along the path and you form a relationship with her for the next decade. I'd make the same choices over again. I'd do the same things all over again because of all that I learned, especially from the breakup. I'm a better person because of it. I'm a better teacher. I'm more connected to my students because I'm connecting in my authentic way, not how somebody's instructing me to connect. In this world of power, right, there's always someone telling us what to do. We have to learn how to be our own teachers, to trust our own inner wisdom. This doesn't mean we're not learning from other people. And in fact, we're always learning from other people because other people are with us in our lives. But we simply have to be the last call. We have to be that last voice that we hear and trust it. We have to develop an inner strength, an inner resilience, where we know how to connect with our highest self. And anyone that ever tells you that your intuition is off, or that they know more about you or for you than you do, run in the other direction. Find someone who helps you trust yourself and deepen your connection with yourself so you can live solidly, peacefully, and powerfully in this earth. So I think that's all I have to say on the teacher-student relationship today. It's a deep one, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. If anybody ever has any thoughts about what they'd like to hear in this podcast, subject matters, questions, anything at all, please feel free to email me. You can reach me at alyssa@mindbodysoulyoga.com. That's my personal email. And feel free to reach out anytime. I'm really, really grateful that you're listening, and I hope that you have a great day. Sat Nam. Namaste. Peace out.